Welcome to the second hour of tonight's edition of Truth Jihad Radio. Hey, you heard that right. It's Wednesday night, but I'm doing Truth Jihad Radio, and this is We the People Radio Network. What's going on? Well, what's going on is I have dropped my RBN show on Saturday night. I am doing only this show. It's my only evening show. I do still have the GCN show on Mondays and Fridays from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Time. But this is now the new Truth Jihad Radio right here on We the People Radio Network, and I guess my dog likes it too. All right, well, my second hour guest tonight is my personal favorite 9/11 documentary maker. Her movie 9/11 Mysteries is the one that I really want to show people the most, and I will be showing some people here in western Wisconsin, up in rural Viroqua, Wisconsin, in the not too distant future. We'll be having a public screening of 9/11 Mysteries. And I am privileged to have with me tonight the director of 9/11 Mysteries. It is Sophia. Welcome, Sophia. Huh? How's it going? Oh, let me click here. How's it going, Sophia?
Have you stopped saying my name?
Oh, Sophia.
I realized my name.
It's a beautiful name.
Well, no, it also is S-O. Fear. So fear. So that's been my kind of personal challenge, to get over all that fear. Do you get it?
Yeah. I think you're getting over it pretty well, actually.
Well, I did stick my neck out. I jumped into the deep water by making that movie.
You sure did. It's an explosive movie, literally and figuratively. It really blows the whistle on the explosive high-energy what have you, demolition of the World Trade Center, and it does so in really a high style. I mean, the production values are great. The information is solid. It's my favorite 9/11 film. That's not to take anything away from all the other great ones, but this is the first one I need to show people, because I really think the demolitions are the linchpin of the issue. You know, that's what takes LIHOP people, the Let It Happen on Purpose crowd, and makes them MIHOP when they realize that these buildings were all rigged up to be demolished. The whole thing was a gigantic psychological operation of that scale of evil. Then they realize that this is false flag all the way. It wasn't just a bunch of evil Muslims they hate our freedoms, they were coming after us, and maybe the CIA just looked the other way. No, this is totally false flag. And if the demolitions that drive that point home, then your movie, I think, is the best single film on the demolition. So, hey, you've definitely overcome your fear by plunging straight into the hottest part of the oven there and withstanding it.
Well, you know, the whole thing about fear, I've been watching people as they try to ease into an understanding of what's going on. And as I say to people, you know, Kevin, the BBC called me the other day, and they said that they wanted still to interview me for their World Trade Center 7 production. I said, well, didn't you already air that? And they said, well, that was just an, I have to do it in his voice, that was an early release. And they did it early. They aired it early for some reason, maybe because they have to, like, pour oil on the waters. Is that what it's called, the metaphor is?
I'm not sure, but...
Anyway, you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Move the waters. And they said they still want to come and interview me, and if I'm going to be around. And I said, a la George Bush, bring yourselves on. I said, you know, but given the nature of your piece, I don't really even know if I want to be interviewed. And the guy says to me, he's one of the assistant producers. I've talked to him a couple of times. I've also talked to the chief producer, Mike Rudin. And he said, well, we made a very fair and balanced production. And I said, well, that's not what I heard. And he said, oh, no, this Alex Jones, he just kind of turned it all around. And I said, well, all right. And he's going to send me a disc, he told me, and I'm going to watch it. He told me he thought I would like it very much.
Well, I think he's maybe being a little optimistic there.
But
the thing is that documentary, even though it is obviously a hit piece, it's not a very effective one, and partly because they did put in a whole lot of the information that people need to hear, and then once people know this information, then they will realize that these were controlled demolitions. They actually, I think, did the 9/11 truth movement a favor, although not by being genuinely fair and balanced.
Well, you see, I think that I always say there are two kinds of people in the world, and I have many of these two kinds of people. Someday we'll do a show and I'll tell you all my different two kinds of people. So there's one kind of people who believe what they're told by a center of an authoritarian center or figure. And there are others who want to do their own thinking. So if BBC released this early, it probably was trying to get a lot of people to believe what it was saying and not do their own thinking. But invariably, when you even discuss a subject like this, you will be raising in people some kind of curiosity as to why you're even discussing it, right?
Well, indeed. But the thing was, with this Building 7 show, they had a topic that was really hard to spin. And, you know, they could have done a wildly, just absolutely distorted hit piece and somehow, you know, done it, you know, just made a fictional piece, basically. They didn't do that. They did bring in much of the strongest evidence that we talk about, and especially in the first half of the show. So the trailer for the show and even the first half of the show could be mistaken for even-handed or even pro 9/11 truth productions. And then they bring out their lousy, you know, their lame debunking attempts more in the second half of the show. But it doesn't really make up for the impression that's been created. I think it'll stimulate people's interest and cause people to think for themselves.
Well, I thought the other night of doing focus groups. When I made inspirational products and tried to figure out how to market them, I conducted focus groups. Nobody seemed to know what that was, but a focus group is simply a group of people. They don't really know what they're getting into, and they give you their reactions and to what you're showing them. So it would be interesting to show that particular BBC piece to a focus group, and I think you should do that, Kevin. If you're showing 9/11 Mysteries to these small groups of people in your state of Wisconsin, maybe it would be good to have a group come and watch a piece like that, and let's see what they say, what their reactions are.
That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder also, I wonder if the BBC may have already done that. You know, maybe I'm being a little suspicious here, but it wouldn't really surprise me if the BBC were in bed with the people who actually, you know, care enough about how this information gets out, that they might have run this by a couple of focus groups.
Focus groups are very common in marketing, and they're very effective. They reveal things that you never would have thought of yourself. Many minds in one room create a cross-section of life, you know? But anyway, to talk about this cross-section of life, to continue, I find that my own inclination now is to probe into the bigger picture. What is above 9/11? 9/11 is a morsel of a cake or a tableau, or it's a piece of something. And this producer, Mike Rudin, when he first called me in the spring to tell me about the Building 7 show and to ask if they could interview me, he asked me, now who do you think did this? Why do you suppose anybody would do something like this? And I said, Mike, 9/11, it's not like there's somebody, some lone maniac who planned 9/11. It's not an isolated event. It's not one shell that you pick up on the beach. When you pick up this shell, 9/11, you look around you on the beach and you see there are all kinds of shells lying on the beach. And they're all part of the same thing. So 9/11 is part of a series of events that we have been deceived about. It's not the one event, and it was an anomaly. So I don't know whether he accepted that or not, but I have learned now to look up into the universe of related events, and then the painting that they're all a part of. And so the technology that's being used on us today is really at the core of this. First, the intention was there. The intention has been there for years and years and years. There was social engineering put in place to groom the public to receive the technology, the effects of it, without even realizing what was happening.
Now, which kind of technology are you talking about?
I'm talking about super advanced electromagnetic technology. I will be interviewing on my own radio show on RBN. It's called Expansion on Friday morning.
You're still on RBN?
Kevin?
I'm kidding. I just left yesterday, so.
Well,
who am I to talk?
You're a trendsetter. I just joined a few months ago, so it will take me a while to leave. However, I wasn't born yesterday.
So you had a guest talking about electromagnetic weaponry.
I will be interviewing the geoscientist Lorraine Murray. Do you know who she is?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I've had her on my show too.
Yeah, good. Anyway, she pointed out to me that in World War II they were operating with explosives. That was their weaponry. Then they graduated to chemical weaponry. Chemical weapons. That's Agent Orange. That's the Vietnam era. Now they are into electromagnetic weaponry. And in my exploration of the sky, I have now put a collection of pages on my website with their own URL, and I want everybody to listen to this URL and go to it. There's a serious URL that markets to this section, that goes, travels to this section of my website, and then a funny one. So the serious one is About the Sky, aboutthesky.com. And then there's also the funny URL, which goes to the same section of my website, contrailsmyass.com.
Okay.
So people don't forget humor. Contrails my ass, they remember that better than they would about the sky. So as I've been looking above me and I've been seeing the blue disappearing, in San Diego where I live, we now have a very pale blue sky. We're not supposed to in the western United States. We're supposed to have a deep cerulean cobalt sky, and we don't have that anymore. It's gone. It imitates the humid skies of the northeast and the east and the Midwest in the summer. No. This is not how it's supposed to be. The sky is laden with reflective metallic particles that have been sprayed systematically now for 10 years. And that spraying has conditioned the air around us and made it into a plasma. A plasma is a conductive gas. The interior of a neon light tube is a conductive gas, a plasma. So we are no longer living in neutral, life-supporting, clean air. We are living in a conductive environment, which makes us conductive ourselves. So that's the setting for our current lives. Hence, all these references that people make to feeling not right, I've had a bad day, I'm stressed. It's the equivalent of sitting with your finger in an electrical socket and receiving low voltage current. The animals are responding. I'm going to have on my radio show on Friday the shark attack expert Ralph Collier. We had a fatality in San Diego. We haven't had a fatal great white attack for 50 or more years. And our great white sharks are hanging around here. They're not migrating northward back to the colder waters of Oregon and Northern California. They're staying in Southern California. I don't know why. Nobody knows why. So I'm curious about now how life on this planet is responding to the conditioning, the changing, the electromagnetic alteration of our entire environment. And when Lorraine Murray told me that they have graduated now to electromagnetic weaponry, it really made me think. The weaponization is being delivered against, upon, and to us. And we have already been engineered socially. Our minds have been taken over and conditioned, warped, made, so that we don't even know that it's going on.
So specifically, what do you think are some of the things that they're accomplishing with this transformation of the atmosphere into a conductive medium and then hitting us with electromagnetic weaponry? Is it about mind control? Is it about delivering a lethal punch to certain places? Or what are they up to?
8,000 lightning strikes in Northern California over one weekend. Not possible in nature. So how does that happen? HARP, High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program in Alaska, is the switch thrower. HARP is an ionospheric antenna system. The ionosphere completely affects the Earth and the weather. So if they start belting out frequencies into the ionosphere, and if the air itself has been made conductive such that it carries a charge, then the air is the medium that responds to the signals they're giving. And therefore, you will get something like 8,000 lightning strikes. Hard.
Why do they want that many lightning strikes?
Because that started the fire.
Ooh, okay. This sounds like Hurricane Katrina kind of stuff. Weather warfare. I've had Captain Eric May on talking about that. And we'll be back to talk some more about it with Sophia in just a few moments. This is Kevin Barrett right here on the new Truth Jihad Radio Show, otherwise known as 9/11 and Empire, right here on We the People Radio Network.
It's time to think outside the box with your host, Alex Angeli, from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Central every Saturday right here on We the People Radio Network.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories concerning the attacks of September the 11th.
This is Kevin Barrett. You're listening to the Truth Jihad Radio Show. It used to be 9/11 and Empire, and it, well, still sort of is. I guess that's the subtitle right now. But we are in the process of transferring the show over from Republic Broadcasting, where it is no longer happening, to We the People Radio Network, and it will be right here on WTPRN.com every Wednesday night, same time, same channel, until further notice. All right, we're talking with Sophia right now. She's the director of 9/11 Mysteries, and we're talking about chemtrails. And she does have a website up there, contrailsmyass.com, which pretty well says it all on that. I agree, Sophia. There's something funny going on with the atmosphere. You're saying that the main purpose of this is to make the atmosphere conductive so electromagnetic weaponry can be introduced. And you're saying that they intentionally used HARP to set off forest fires with lots of lightning strikes in California. I guess I haven't been following that story closely, so maybe you can fill me in on the details.
Kevin, honestly, I am thinking here. That's all I do. I don't follow stories closely. I think as I hear things and I put things together, and that's really how I made 9/11 Mysteries. That's the only thing we can do. We can think. We must bring back from one layer and look at the whole onion, you know?
Well, I do think about these things, too, Sophia. For instance, after Katrina, I wondered whether that hurricane might not have been amped up and steered towards New Orleans. And I certainly wondered how it was that as the hurricane was leaving and had diminished, at that point, suddenly these levees broke and all sorts of people were reporting hearing explosions. And suddenly, all of the poor people are flooded out, and the redevelopers are going to make fortunes. And I did think about that. But then when Captain Eric May comes on my show and tells me that we're suffering from weather warfare here in Wisconsin, where we're getting flooding from these 100-year storms, then my response is, well, I'm thinking, Captain May, but I can't think of exactly how this would serve anybody's interest. With Katrina, I could. And with 9/11, you know, blowing up this asbestos trap of a building that they've been desperate to take down for a decade. I mean, that's an obvious one. But so what's the point of setting the forest fires with lightning?
To get people used to the effects of global warming. Everything is blamed on global warming or corporations. I just heard today that they're blaming SDG&E, whatever it's called. What's it called now? This power company. It used to be San Diego Gas and Electric, but it can't be San Diego up there. Anyway, they're blaming the power company for faulty lines, and that caused the fires. It's a two very convenient villains. They're kind of amorphous. One is corporations. It's always the corporations. They acted recklessly. They don't care about the earth. They only care about profit. Corporations, Muslim terrorists, you know, we don't know them, ragheads, and now global warming. So we have escalated.
Well, of those three, I think corporations probably are the closest thing to a real villain.
Well, they're a convenient excuse. They're not a real villain. Remember, they're fictional entities.
That's true.
They cannot be punished, really.
Good point.
Except by money, and they have enough that they can stave off their final judgment day in court. So now we're being terrorized by weather. That is the new form of terrorism. And that's really another state-sponsored effort to control our lives.
Well, we're certainly being terrorized by the weather here in Wisconsin, or at least we were in June when these outrageous floods happened. Over in Iowa, it was even worse. They had 10 feet above the 100-year flood over in Iowa. So what's going on here? I can see why some folks are agreeing with you, Sophia, that this is some kind of artificial process responsible for it. Personally, I don't know enough to say that, but who knows? We do have a caller. It's Wyatt from Maryland. Hello, Wyatt.
How are you?
Hey, okay. How are you doing?
Good. What a great topic. I finished her analysis of her statements before she did, and I said, it's HARP. And boom, you said it. And as you were going on with your story, I said, everything that you're laying out is conducive to the HARP project out of Alaska. And I do believe there is a similar project in Puerto Rico. I could be wrong, but now Dr. Nick Begich from Alaska, of course, made a few different tapes back in 1996, and he explained this when HARP was much smaller in power, and it's probably quadrupled, if not more, in its power to penetrate the ozone layer, and now that like you said, these particles that are spraying have reduced the sunlight upon the Earth, and that's been reported several years ago. Of course, they didn't say why. Several years ago, that at least 10 to 15% of the sunlight is being blocked by the cloud cover. Well, it's not cloud cover. It's chemical spray.
And, yeah, it's artificial overcast.
Right, chemtrails, and you're right. It probably has the aluminum particles, if not other things, mixed in with it. Now, I do notice that I live in Maryland, and I think they're coming out of Dover Air Force Base mostly, and maybe a few other bases around. But they don't spray. They don't spray if the atmosphere is the winds are too heavy. I have noticed that. It's like they take the day off. There's nothing in the sky. It's a nice, blue, deep sky. And then if the weather calms down, the upper levels of the atmosphere calm down, then the jets go up. I need to get a very powerful set of binoculars because typically there are four-engine jets. Well, that's military aircraft because there's only a scant few in the country still flying for civilian air, four-engine jets. Mostly it's two because it's more fuel efficient. Plus, with the modern jets, it's extreme. And the military does have two-engine jets, but mostly they have a fleet of four-engine jets. Nick Begich is a great. Have you ever spoken with Nick Begich?
Yes, I have. He made the DVD Holes in Heaven, and he wrote the book. He co-authored it. And it's called Angels Don't Play This Harp.
Right.
That's right. I did actually read
DVD Holes in Heaven. It's very interesting. It's available at my online store, avatarproducts.com, A-V-A-T-A-R.
Okay.
And it explains the HAARP project. It's really a very journalistic style. It interviews a lot of people from the defense side, the HAARP project spokesperson, and a lot of other scientists working for our government. And they just say, HAARP, it's harmless.
It's harmless.
Well, it's just a research project. But
I think I have a clue to one of the benefits that they believe is beneficial, or as a redundant word there. But one of the beneficial things that they're looking at and selling this project. Now, the HAARP can be run remotely. In fact, Johns Hopkins University and their R&D research labs, they can remotely operate HAARP even from Maryland. And I'm sure this is like MIT. I'm sure they could do it there and a few other locations. They can remotely operate HAARP. And according to Nick Begich and others, that they said they were extremely fearful of tremendous lightning strikes being developed with this powerful technology coming down onto Earth and bouncing off an uncontrollable lightning strikes. And they also he also talked about, well, this is my theory. The military, which I think the Air Force is running this and maybe the Navy, you still there?
Yeah, you have about 10 seconds.
I'm sorry. Okay, it's an economic warfare tool. Look at the floods controlling crops.
We'll come back and talk some more about economic warfare, weather warfare, related topics with Sophia and Wyatt. Stick around.
Okay, thank you.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Somebody died 911. It's mass confusion, mass confusion. At last, we losing Uncle Sam to a mass of tumors. And that's the rumor it leads. It's soon to be seen if the truth is the beast. It's soon to be seen. Second blood clots in the crude oil that runs through his veins and up through his brain. It's tough to maintain a fever flow income. He'd already been gone. Insurance paperwork.
Welcome back. You're listening to the new Truth Jihad Radio Show, formerly known as 9/11 and Empire. We are moving over from Republic to We the People Radio Network, the premier activist network. Sorry to tell you that, Sophia, because you're on RBN still. But, I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy to be here with Sophia, who's always one of my favorite guests. We're also talking with Wyatt from Maryland, and we're talking about weather warfare, which can perhaps be used for economic warfare for fun and profit by the psychopathic powers that be. So, Wyatt, you were saying that some of these weather warfare acts may be designed to disrupt the economy in ways that will profit those who are doing it.
Oh, absolutely. Look at the flooding process. Now, I think this came online, this HAARP system came online probably in 92, 93, and 94 is when it, and it's been continued to grow in strength. And you were talking about the shark attack, and one of the things that Dick Begich and others were very concerned about was the effects on nature that this would, nature that this would have, especially on migration of birds and sea life and whales and dolphins and things like that. I do know that that I have seen, especially in the winter here in the Maryland area. I was in the West Virginia area, the panhandle of West Virginia, where it bleeds into Maryland. And I'm a courier, and I travel all over. And in the winter, I guess because of the low sun, where the sun is placed in the sky, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I looked in the sky, and it looked like an oil slick in the sky. It must have been the reflection of these particles. The way the sun was hitting it, it was really interesting. It's like a rainbow, but an oil slick. That's just like when you see a oil on the ground at the gas station and the sunlight's hitting it, you can see that rainbow look in it, but it's all smeared looking. And that's
it's not a reflection. It's refraction.
Right.
There's refraction going on. The light spectrum is being bent by the particles in the air. And this isn't just to profit. This is actually to re-engineer all of biology on the Earth to replace it with nanotechnology so that biological life is no longer the order of things. That nanotechnological control becomes the order of the world.
Now, who wants to do that and why?
Yeah.
Kevin, don't ask who. Just look around you. The changes, they're not just spraying metal particulates, which are ionized metallic salts. They're not just reconditioning the air. They are spraying biological elements, including, do you know what this is? Desiccated erythrocytes. Human red blood cells. Human red blood cells. They are spraying polymers. Polymers are plastics. So effectively, this overcast that is artificially created after the spraying, the overcast consists of polymers and metals. That's the equivalent of wrapping our sacred, beloved planet Earth, that blue-green marble of ocean and land mass, wrapping it in plastic and metal like saran wrap and tin foil, and allowing the sun to bake it. So this global, I'm going to finish. Other people have talked for a long time.
Go ahead.
Thank
you. Go ahead.
Thank you. This global warming that they tout, Al Gore, the poster boy for global warming, is now the villain. The global warming is going to be responsible for all these dire and drastic changes to our lives. The global warming is the author of this horrible weather. And the public is too simple-minded to see what's really going on because they don't have the knowledge. They don't have the information. They've been pummeled with global warming, since the 1980s. So, it's not global warming. It's technology that is being used to alter our lives and to march us systematically into our own genocide, into the transformation of our biology and all biology into the creation of an engineered matrix that will substitute for the matrix that the rest of us already live in.
Right.
And nobody is the wiser.
Well, that's a pretty scary scenario there, Sophia.
And I'm not dreaming this up myself in a vacuum.
No, Sophia, everything you've said I know there's something wrong, but you have laid it out in a very logical and sensible way that anyone should be able to understand. But I think, I understand completely what you're saying, and I agree exactly what you're saying. Just one final comment, and I'll hang up. I think you're a great guest, and your knowledge is fantastic. I've also noticed that we all know that the honeybee has gone through some unbelievable experiences of disappearing, and this is a complete answer to the problem or why this is happening. So far this year, in my area, I have not seen one honeybee at all. I used to see them hitting plants and things and flowers. I don't see any of them. I haven't seen them all summer so far, all spring and summer, nothing. And I think that this is decimating this population. And look what this can do to control the growth of food. And the supply of food from for sale and decimating agriculture, farming, and the only thing that will grow will be these artificially Monsanto hybrid food seeds, and maybe there's something in I don't know how this is going to take place. I'm not quite knowledgeable. You have any comments about that, about these hybrid seeds and what's causing in the Monsanto, not Monsanto exactly, but the DuPont, the Monsanto, and the hybrid seeds. Do you have any? Do you see anything there?
They don't need bees. They don't need pollinators. They don't need biology. They don't want the variability of biological life. They don't want 9 billion people by 2050, all different, that they're going to have to control. They don't want species that replenish themselves and mutate and become different outside of their control. So our buddy, Bill Gates, and his buddy, the Rockefeller family, and Syngenta, they have now established a seed vault in the Arctic in which they have put away 4.5 million varieties of seeds for the future of the Earth. And William Engdahl, who wrote an article about this, asks, and what do you know about the future of the Earth that we don't know? So, they don't need the bees. Why have bees? They don't want the bees. They want their engineering. And their engineering will be licensed. You'll have to buy it every year from them. You'll have to plant your fields with the one-season crops. They've taken away the right for us to buy supplements. They haven't enforced it yet. The food will be worthless. The supplements won't be available. And guess what? That adds up to.
You know, the movie The X-Files, when it first came out, they had a part of the movie dealt with the two characters, Mulder and Scully, coming across a huge domed white tent. I mean, it was huge, and it was full of bees that were already genetically altered. It was amazing, and I guess now that's probably 12 years old. And when I saw that, I thought, maybe theatrics in the movies are actually revealing to us some of the truth. And it just was very interesting. I found it then. Oh, I guess about 4 or 5 years ago, that's when I started to hear about all these bees disappearing, and I thought of that. And, that's all I have.
Okay, well, thanks, Glenn. I appreciate it.
You're wonderful. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye.
No, he's right, and he's very smart. They are using film to give us a taste of what's to come.
Okay, well, we'll have a taste of what's to come on the last segment when we come back after the break. We do have a couple of callers on the line, and we will get to you, so hang in there, folks. This is Kevin Barrett right here on Proof Jihad Radio, otherwise known as 9/11 and Empire, talking with Sophia of 9/11 Mysteries. Stick around.
Lighting the fires of liberty with your host, Michael Badnarik, from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central, Monday through Friday, only on We the People Radio Network.
September morning. Now everyone remembers that date.
Welcome back. You're listening to the new Truth Jihad Radio Show right here at We the People Radio Network. I'm Kevin Barrett. Tonight I'm talking with Sophia of 9/11 Mysteries. We're talking about chemtrails and what's really going on with them. And before we jump back into that, let me just say that next week's show is going to be great. We're bringing on Mahbub Khwaja, whose son, Momin, is one of the Toronto, I think it's 18, is it? The Toronto 18 who are being prosecuted on this bogus terror case up in Canada. And we'll be talking about Islamophobia and the current persecution of people simply because of their skin color and their religion right here in North America. And then in the second hour, we'll be talking with the world's funniest Muslim. It's Azhar Usman, the world-famous Muslim comedian. So that's going to be a great show. Tell all your Muslim friends. Tell all your friends. It's one for everybody. All right. Well, tonight we are talking with Sophia about chemtrails. We do have a bunch of callers, and let's get to the next caller, Ken from Maryland. Hello, Ken.
Hey, greetings and salutations.
Hey.
And salutations and greetings back to you, sir.
Sophia, I'd like to ask you a question in reference to, I know this is all about terraforming the Earth and also terraforming us. Could you speak on the topic of Morgellons and smart dust and nanotechnology in relationship to the HARP system and the cell phone towers and the scalar wave technology that is being used? I mean, I think all these things are linked.
Yes, they're all linked. It's all part of the matrix that they're building. And I'm not an expert in this, but you can go to, I know Kevin has said a few things about RVN already tonight, but at republicbroadcasting.org, if you click on my name and you look at my show archives, I've been consistently interviewing people on this topic. So you'll find many radio shows that address these various subjects that you've just brought up. But basically, from what I can see, they are making a technological world for us to live in that's going to be completely controlled. And as they create it, they blame the events, the large, gargantuan, life-changing events on other things, like global warming, for instance, is their favorite excuse right now. I just heard today that the earthquake in China destroyed a very large military facility with nuclear technology. And I learned the other day from one of my guests that I interviewed that HARP actually penetrates into the ground as well. So I'm assuming that HARP can shift tectonic plates. And all over, they have told us that we're waiting the 100-year storm. Here in San Diego, we're waiting for the 100-year storm. And they've put up signs on the beach that say tsunami hazard zone. They are going to rely on our terror of naturally caused events, and I'm putting naturally caused in quotation marks. And these events are really all engineered, and that terror will basically make us compliant and make us enter our own exhumation, if that's the word. They're going to take us out. They don't want us here. They're going to say the Earth is not, the Earth doesn't have enough resources. Look at all this flooding. It's taken out all these crops. And it's all part of their genocide program, but they're not going to be the authors of the genocide. It's all going to be causes that appear just, I won't say natural, but external.
Okay, yeah, Ken, does that answer your question?
Yeah, but I wanted to make another comment. I think Zbigniew Brzezinski, in his book Between Two Ages, he talked about this, didn't he?
I don't know that book. You asked about Morgellons, and I want to talk about that if you if you're still interested.
Oh, absolutely.
I interviewed Gwen Scott, the naturopath, who works with Clifford Carnicom, and both Gwen and Clifford have done quite a lot of deep research into Morgellons lately. Now, Morgellons has been recently acknowledged by major media. They did a couple of shows on it on ABC, and they said, oh, these are people who are exhibiting psychosomatic rashes. And there's also the appearance of polymer fibers that grow out of the skin. It's very eerie. It's literally a whole, like, sci-fi type of thing that starts happening. But they claim that that was simply lint from patients' clothing sticking to their sores. Now, these Morgellons fibers, the polymers, are just signs. This is actually a syndrome, not a disease. Everybody is marked with Morgellons at this time because Morgellons is airborne, and it's part of their nano-engineering, the creation of their matrix.
Self-assembling carbon nanotube.
Yes, and the plan of Morgellons, I don't know, you know, I started to say intent, then I goal, agenda, and I realized that those things are attributed to consciousness. But in fact, Morgellons is an inorganic, non-carbon-based type of organization or consciousness. It's a mechanical consciousness that enters our body, and it breaks up the intercommunication of body systems. It, because it follows the principles of quantum mechanics, due to the very small size of the particles, they don't behave in the protocols of cell biology. They're too small, and the immune system can't find them. The immune system is too clumsy to locate these invaders, and it actually goes into a kind of overdrive, sensing that something is there. But it can't locate what is there. And so what is there is being governed by quantum mechanics, a whole different kind of principle. And that is intended to interrupt our own, the integrity of our biology, the whole that we are. And so we're seated, we're marked now with carriers of this program. They talk about the RFID chip in the future. This is another dog and pony discussion. We're already marked. We're already active. All they have to do is throw the switch. This is a behavior modification. This is a biology alteration. And it's complete in the sense that everything that's living now is marked, is altered irrevocably by the system that they have very stealthily. This is a stealth program delivered.
Well, this sounds kind of fatalistic. If we're all totally marked already, how can we fight back against this?
No fighting. Remember that book? Okay. When I was a little kid, there was a little book about alligators, and it was called No Fighting, No Biting. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I read that to my kids.
It's a good book. And that's the rule, Kevin. No fighting, no biting. All right, so here's the deal. I lay awake the other night, and I couldn't sleep for 2 hours because I had to keep turning on the light and writing down what was coming to me. All right? Are you ready?
Okay.
We have the equivalent of their electromagnetic technology. And it is. And I've said this before, but I've never understood it like I understand it now. It's our consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
They have electromagnetism. We have consciousness. Our consciousness is magical, but in their socialization program, they have robbed us of that understanding. So we need to go back and fetch that understanding out of the deep roots of ourselves. Our consciousness is free. In us, it's inherent. We don't need technicians to dispense it, to turn it on and off. We don't need labs for it. It's in us. And that's the antidote. That's the answer. That's what we have to start using. And if we elevate ourselves into that consciousness, then we are part of an organic whole, all of us, that they cannot penetrate, they cannot interrupt, they cannot destroy. But as long as we hunker down in fear and all this, what are we going to do? And they have all this money and they have all these weapons, then they have us.
Okay, well, here's the consciousness. Listen, we do have one more caller that maybe has a very quick question, so let's bring him on for the end. Bob from Pennsylvania, let's hear a quick question.
Yeah, sure. Okay. I just want to say I have a... talking about the contrails and everything. I have a boat down in Maryland on Chesapeake Bay. And we were up there on vacation last weekend, and you're talking about these rainbows in the sky. Well, first time in my life I ever saw a one, you know, my girlfriend and I looked at this and we said, my gosh, it was like the sky lit up like a rainbow. And there was also a ring around the sun, which I never, you know, it was very rare down there. And I've been going down here probably 15 years, and
it sounds like this weird phenomena are happening all over. Listen, Bob, we're going to have to probably take the rest of that next week. And is it time to say goodbye right now to my guest, Sophia, from 9/11 Mysteries? Thank you, Sophia, and you're at avatarproducts.com.
That's right.
People can get DVDs on these topics. And I hope to have you back again soon, Sophia, because we barely scratched the surface.
We'll go deeper next time, Kevin. Thank you.
Okay, take care.
Bye.
Bye. All right.
Well, we will be back in next week, same time, same channel. So until then, this is Kevin Barrett signing off. See you later.